Dear Lord, you came to us in our despair and made us worthy. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Lord and healer of our hearts. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Oh, good. The good news is, because Jesus came to us and broke the curse of sin and death and gives us forgiveness when we come into his kingdom. The Gospels are the message of God's forgiveness for us and calling us to live this forgiveness to others. In the reading last Sunday, we see Jesus coming to the disciples in their fear and failure. He reassured them and gave them a commission and then equipped them with the Holy Spirit. They knew that they had failed in their faithfulness to Jesus. And before God, they carried much personal shame and condemnation. Peter especially had failed in a number of ways. He with the others swore that they would defend Jesus to the death, that they would never leave him, and Jesus especially singles Peter out and says to him, "Before the night is over, you will deny me thrice." They all abandoned Jesus, failed in their word to stand by him, and Peter's denial was public and harsh. Matthew 26:74, it says this, "Then he began to curse, that is to invoke God's judgment on himself, and swear an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And at that moment, a rooster crowed." Talk about painting yourself into a corner. Now Jesus turns up, ignores Peter's shame and guilt, and practically says he still trusts in him. The shame and guilt of Peter was deeper than the others. Back in Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples, Who do people say that I am? And the disciples give several answers. And then he asks, Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It is Peter's personal confession from a heart that deeply loves Jesus, knowing who he is. For those words, Jesus gives Peter a name. He was Simon, but now he is God's rock in which Jesus would build his church. Not only that, Jesus says he will give him the keys of the kingdom of God and the authority to bind and loose whatever. Can you imagine the weight of responsibility Peter must have felt? The sense of duty that Peter now believed he should carry. Not only because Jesus appoints him, but also the accountability he feels before God. The rooster crows, Jesus is crucified, and Peter's world comes crumbling down. I'm going to play a song by Paul Kelly. In fact, he's going to sing it, not me. He does it so much better.
All the kings and queens in the Bible, they could not turn back time. So what chance have I of a miracle in this life of mine? I only want one day.
Love that song because it really taps into pretty much how Peter must have been feeling. But also, at times we feel we wish we could rewind time and get our lives, get so we feel that we've failed in some way before God. In some way we feel that we've let God down somehow. And Peter's heart at that time must have been so heavy with the shame, the sense of betrayal to Jesus. It's bad enough that Peter feels that he has failed God, but now Jesus resurrected comes to him face to face. And I doubt if Peter at first could even look Jesus in the eyes. Jesus, without so many words, was forgiving Peter. Yet shame and guilt are such sticky things. Even after Jesus visits the disciples in a locked room, it seems that Peter decides fishing for people is not his calling, and he returns to his old trade. Self-condemnation does this to us. We also often come to a point where we feel we have missed the mark of being good enough. And we give up, returning to our old ways. But this benchmark of being good enough is a fictional thing. In the economy of God, our good enough does not exist. God looks at our hearts, and he certainly saw Peter's heart. The fact that Peter felt shame and guilt was proof enough of the deep regret Peter held. Without so many words, this was Peter's repentance. This invoked God's compassion and Jesus' forgiveness. The beautiful thing is that Jesus came to Peter. Three times, and twice, he recommissioned him. At times, we need as much affirmation from God to say he is still batting for us also. It is Jesus who comes to us, who sees our hearts yearning to be good enough, yet feeling we have oh so widely missed the mark. It is Jesus who says that you are my good enough. He says it is I who have cleansed you and made you whole. Before my Father in heaven, I have made you worthy. I will give you the ability to serve me and my Father. And in your weakness, I will be your strength. When you fall, I will pick you up. And it is I who will make your path straight. I will put my spirit within you, and you will know that you are not doing this alone. My presence will go before you, and you will see my hand move mountains at your command. Jesus came to Peter, and he reassures Peter by doing exactly what he did when he first met Peter. Throw your nets on the other side. And the nets were filled with fish. There is nothing like being reminded of that first love when we met our life's partner. In this instance, Jesus reminds Peter when he first met him and the revelation that Jesus was his Messiah. A light in Peter comes on. And he dives over the boat and swims to Jesus. A new hope, a fresh love arises in him. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" This was not something that Jesus needed to know. He saw the love in Peter. But in asking Peter, Jesus was deliberately asking him to confess his love for Christ and therefore his God. Because Peter felt that his love for Jesus was woefully inadequate. How could he ever show his love to be true now? Peter denied Jesus in the darkness. Now Jesus, the light of life, came to Peter face to face and gave Peter the chance to confess his love. And so he did. You see, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is our Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, this is indeed our confession that comes out of our love for Jesus and our desire to follow him. In this we come into the freedom of what salvation is all about, where there is now no condemnation in Christ, and where our hearts witness that Jesus has come to us and is within us and so deeply loves us. When Peter confessed his love for Jesus, in doing so, Jesus reassured Peter that he had not reneged on the job he had given him. In this, Jesus is saying, I forgive you and I trust in you, and this is how much I value you. Now, with the understanding of God's forgiveness within him, Peter could share the awesome love of God and his forgiveness that all can come into. Now, the Greek word for sin is hamartano. It means to miss the mark, a symptom that all of us come under. Jesus has come to us all, bringing us his forgiveness from sin, meaning that he has made himself our completeness before God. It is he that meets the mark that we can never reach on our own. Not only this, but Jesus comes to us with a purpose. Knowing his love and forgiveness, we now live as people of forgiveness. We are called to bring the healing of forgiveness to a world so crippled in shame and condemnation. This is a demonstration of the love we have for our Lord and Father, in which we now show to others. God has made himself our good enough, and with the Holy Spirit in our souls, he is the benchmark in which we can all live under. And I ask you, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Amen, amen, and amen. Father, we surrender to you all of our wounds of shame and self-condemnation. In your forgiveness, you complete us. And where we fall oh so short, you still call us worthy. Thank you for coming to us and continually reminding us how much you value us. May we, with the guidance of your Holy Spirit, serve you faithfully with a love that is undeniably deep. Amen.